Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Yud. And we are holding the daf Tet Amud Beit. We had gotten up to the Halon V'Halahu. So we had said that Abaye had mentioned, let's review that again. Abaye's Maimer, six lines up. So Omar Abaye, Ani Chavran Bavloy, Laman Diyom Atvila Zarviz Rishus, Kivin Asharei Rehem Nune, So based on the idea that what is considered to be the beginning of a process of starting your Seuda and so on is if you live in Bavel, since normally you would have to loosen your belt, and they wore very tight belts, so once you loosened your belt, it's considered to be the beginning of the meal, and therefore you don't have to be mafsik. And because of that, Abaye said, for Tfilas Mairiv, if you've come from Bavel, and you hold that Tefillas Arvis is Rishus, then we would not ask you to put your belt back on to daven Ma'ariv. And you could daven afterwards. But Lamadi Yom Rechova, Matrachin, Elaine Gemara's last kasha was, I can't remember if we did that yesterday, that why would this be more chorban than Tefillas Mincha? Tefillas Mincha, everybody agrees, is Chova. And it says, Imit Chilo Ein Mafsikin. And Rabbi Chanina defined that as the moment that you loosened your belt. And what's the difference? And we answered, Hatam Lo Shchicha Shichrut. If it's the middle of the daytime, it's not a problem for you to continue eating and then daven mincha later. Mashenken, in the nighttime, we might have a nightcap or a beer or something. Over there, it's shchicha shichrut, and you may end up not davening at all. Or, could be the difference is that b'mincha kivin tekviyalei zimna mirtet v'lo asila mifsha. If you've got a specific time that you have to daven mincha by, so by shkia, you're going to have to finish your mincha, so the person is nervous and he's not going to end up sitting around at the meal and missing mincha. Mashenkin arvit, given to kula laili azman arvit, lo mir tatvati la mifsha. He figures he's got lots of time. Because of that, he may end up missing ma'ariv completely. Now, today we enter into an amazing new world, which I have to tell you, I haven't seen anybody being masbir, but I'm convinced that I am able to give you, b'siyata d'shamaya, the correct understanding of what is going on over here. And as Alon asked yesterday, it's absolutely crazy. It's one thing. I mean, Alon's question was, why are we doing this here? The simple understanding of why we're doing this here. And by the way, I mean, all of the Mefarshim are bothered by the fact that we do this here. It's not Stam. I mean, so I haven't seen any good explanations. So the simple explanation of why we started on this Mishnah over here, I understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah is brought over here by Pashtas, because since we're going to be talking about the things that you have to worry about that you may end up doing without Kavona, Benogea Shabbos, or don't go out with things in your pocket, or don't start doing things Erev Shabbos, like going to a haircut where you may end up not being able to get into Shabbos Bisman and things like that. So Mimela, we talk about the general idea of being careful not to miss things that have Bisman Kavua, that is universal, and then we speak about the Indian of Shabbos. Today, we're going to see that we go to town. It's not just that we have a Mishnah. We basically bring many, many dinim about the way in which you are mispalel and how you're mispalel and how you're dressed for tefillah and so on and so forth, which we didn't even mention in Masechet Brachot, which is the main place of discussing the dinim of tefillah. And therefore, it's totally wild that we should use this particular Mishnah that Papashtas was only brought agav the dinim of Shabbos, that we should bring it here and use all of the agadatas and all of the issues that were nogea, the inyonim of tefillah and so on. Why in the world would we put it here in Masechet Shabbat? And so I am about to show you from the Gemara the main point. And the main point is this. The inyonim that we're talking about have to do with getting yourself ready. And as we'll see, the next line is that Rav Sheshes, Maskifla Rav Sheshes asked, what in the world is the big deal? Trichuta Lomeser Himnaya. I understand. So you took off your belt, so put your belt back on. I don't get it. What's like the big deal over here? And anyway, what's the big deal? So you took off your belt. Okay, fine. You took off your belt. So daven after taking off your belt. I mean, what's the big deal that you need to wear a belt? Answers the Gemara. Mishum sheneemar, hikon likrat elokecha Yisrael. The Navi tells us in Amos, get ready and prepare yourself to meet your maker. And that's the Indian of tefillah. You're going to be sitting there with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Yisai, the mocker of the din of Hachona in the Torah is Yitziot HaShabbat. That's the most astounding thing. In the Inyan of the Mun, which goes all the way back to Maaser Bereishis, in which the Brocha of Shabbos is Mishnah Lecha Mishnah on Erev Shabbos, and the Brocha is, as Rashi says over there, the Brocha that we say even in Vayichlu HaShamayim Va'aretz, all of that has to do with one idea, Hachona, getting ready for Shabbos before. And it's in that sugya of getting the mun double before Shabbos that the Mishnah, that the Torah tells us don't go out and carry on Shabbos. So then that means the Yadin of Yitzia on Shabbos, which is brought both by Rashi and Tosfos from the Mokar in that Pasuk, is the din of Achana. Therefore, anything that has to do with the preparation of the state of your mind, the state of your clothes, the state of your living, the place in which you live, all of these inyanim are directly derived from Shabbos. And their application to tefillah is a function of the concept that Shabbos is given to the Olam of preparing in advance of appropriateness. And because of this, this halacha of hikon likrat elokecha, which is the mocker of all of the halachas, of how it is that you dress, the eighth thing that the Rambam mentions, one of the eight things the Rambam mentions, is the hachona of your begodim appropriately, then there's the hachona of your das appropriately, but all of these concepts have to do with how you are ready to be mispalel, is an introduction to what it means, how you are ready to face the entire change of Shabbos. And that's why we're going to have later on going out into the fields and being makaba with Kabbalah Shabbos and preparing yourself with the clothing before Shabbos and going to the merchatz and all of the various inyanim. This is part of Hotzah, of all incredible things, and therefore belongs in this perek of Yetzias HaShabbos. Absolutely astounding. So therefore, the Gemara says, look, the important thing to recognize is that it's all a function of Hikon. And if you haven't gotten yourself ready, so then you cannot actually really go ahead and daven. Because of that, we're not going to allow you to leave off your belt. Because of this, by the way, we have many people wear a gartel, as the Rebbe will tell us. And the wearing of the gartel is a special belt that one wears. This has nothing to do with the dinim of libo roes ha'erva, according to the poskim. And therefore, forget about what we see in Tosfos mentioning it. Some of the Rishonim mentioned it would be a function of libo roes ha'erva. Over here, we're talking about a special din of hikon, which is true only of tefillah and not for kriyat shema. And therefore, because of that, as the poskim point out, it cannot be that this is the din of libo roes ha'erva. Because anything that you wouldn't be able to do for Kriyat Shema is not part of Ikon. It's part of the Dinim of Erva. And therefore, this is adding something new. Because of this, it's brought that even if you're wearing a belt, you should still have a special gartel to wear during Tefillah, because the Gemara over here is considering that to be part of the way in which you would prepare yourself. However, you must know that, again, Halacha L'maaseh, the Rambam defines it as we bring in the Poskim, the real definition of what Ikon consists of is obviously social. It is not some type of objective things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes people wearing gartels around their tummies. No, that isn't the issue. The question is, what is considered to be mifu'ar, what is beautiful in the times in which you live, and in terms of what is inappropriate, what would you not go outside looking like? Maybe this doesn't apply bizmaneinu at all, because nowadays people go outside basically naked, but in terms of in a civilized country, what would people be not willing? Certainly, the best, even though some say going outside, the best measurement of this is to be, as the post can bring also, how would they not want to be omed bifnei hagidolim? So somebody would go visit an important person. You go visit a leading political figure, whatever. How would he like to look? And what would he be careful not to look like? And those is basically, that's the way you should be magdir the inyan of how you would be mitpalel as well. It's because of that, it's also brought lahalacha that nowadays that people don't, in hot weather, if you live in a hot climate, people do not wear jackets. And because of that, when it comes to the tefillas hamincha, people are knowing that they don't put on their jacket or they don't necessarily get all dressed up, because around here, it's acceptable that you even have rolled up sleeves if you meet people that are gedolim and so on. Okay, so you see, it literally has to do with that. That's how the Orach HaShulchan brings with the minig in his place. And therefore, you need to understand it all in a social context. Okay, now let's get to work over here. So Rabbi Baravina Rami Puzmeke Metzala, he would put on these beautiful slippers and daven. He said, well, obviously, he called me Krat Elokecha. Rava would throw off his regular jacket, and he would put his hands together, Upocha Yadeh, which the Rosh Hashanah brings as mixing your fingers and squeezing them one against another as if you're in great pain. As you know, there are many who are makbid. No, don't do that. That's a mixing of Midas Adin and Midas Arachmim. God help us. And the Kabbalists will shoot you if they find you with your hands clasped. But that's the way it's brought Lahalacha again in the Rosh Hashanah. And he said, I do this because I don't want to look good during davening. I want to look like I'm an Eved in front of my master. Otherwise, I'll look like I want to get up there as like a person who's very chashev. I don't want to do that. And therefore, it goes according to what it is, as we'll see in a moment, even the context. Because Amar Rav Ashi, Chazina Leila Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana would change his behavior according to the political climate. So, Ki Ikat Sara B'Alma, when the world was in pain and there was suffering, he would be shodik lime upocha yodi metzali, would take off his fancy coat, and he would put his hands together, and he said, ka'avda kamimari, like Rava said. But when it was a good time, in ki'ika shlama, he would put on his most beautiful things, lovish, umiskase, umisate, umitzale, and as the Rambam says, make yourself look beautiful, and you brush your hair, and you look good. So Nemar, Amar, Haikonikrat Elokecha Yisrael. It was all a function of the relationship at the moment of the tefillah. Rava once saw Rav Amnuna that he was davening for a long time and he was very upset. He said to him, I don't understand. You have time for all of this davening stuff? I mean, we're in the middle of learning over here. So, I mean, Nichin Chaye Olam, you're learning Torah, which is something that is Nogea, reality. And you're sitting here, and you're Oskim Bechaya Shah. I mean, what is this thing? What do you care? What are you praying for over here? What, you want to be healthy, you know? You need a parnasa, whatever. I mean, these are things. They're going to be here one day. They're going to go the next day. Who the heck cares? But spend your time doing real things and learn Torah. Well, who savar? Rav Amnuna held that the time that is set aside for Torah and this time that is set aside for tefillah have nothing to do with each other. And therefore, if once you were still mechuyev to interrupt, so then that time is the time for tefillah. That's not the time that you're mechuyev in Talmud Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu splits the time in which your life, this is something that we saw again back in Brachos and Hemnusa, which is the Gea year, that the nature of life of a human being is that indeed it's multi-leveled. Rabbi Yirmiyah was once sitting in front of Rabbi Zeira and they were learning, and it was getting time for Mincha. And Rabbi Yirmiyah, wanted to get out, not to miss Mincha. So Rabbi Zeira says, you know what they say about people like you? Meisiros no mishmoa Torah, gam tfilato toiva. A person, this is what Shlomo HaMelech writes, a person who turns his ears away from listening to Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu views his tefillah as nauseating. So what are you going to daven for? You're wasting your time, man. Anyways, it reminds me that the idea over here is that apparently Rabbi Yirmiyah was Torah Toh Umanutah, and therefore he was really parted from Tefillah. He was not supposed to be Mafsik. So because of that, if he is Mafsik as a voluntary thing, and he interrupts his learning, it's called Meisiros no Mishmoa Torah. Fine. Now, getting back to the list of things that you're not supposed to do, and we were talking about what is the beginning of each thing. So we got turned aside over here because we were talking about what's the beginning of eating, which led us to the question of why you need to wear a belt during davening. When is the beginning of din? Rabbi Yirmiyah of Rabbi Yoina say two different approaches. One of them says a din begins when the judge will put on his robes and look like he's sitting in the din. And the other one said, no, it's when the people present their arguments. But there's really no machlokas here between those two approaches. One is talking about where the din, there was a previous din, then the judges are already sitting there. So therefore, you can't talk about the beginning when they put on their jackets or their coverings of their heads. Masha Einkein, if they hadn't started yet, they just walk in. So there, the dialogue is that Einochinami Mishiyet Yit Atfu. Rav Ami and Rav Asi used to sit and they would learn in all day. They didn't want to go into a courtroom, but they felt that they needed to respond to people's need for din. So kol shaita v'shaita, every hour, they would bang on the Iber de Dasha. So they would bang on to make a lot of noise on the on that metal piece that you keep the door closed with, and they would announce, does anybody need a din? You could come in. Anybody who needs a din could come in. But this way, they were not mafsik their learning unless someone actually needed them. Anyway, this is the way I understand him. It does bring a raya from here that din is more kosher than Torah, but fine. Rav Chista, Rabba Bar Avuna, Vayasvei Bedina Kulayuma. They were in the courtroom the entire day. They hadn't had anything to eat. Vavikachalish libayhu. Rashi brings that some understand this to mean that they were feeling disgusted with themselves because they hadn't learned all day. And he says that can't be the pshat, because that's called chalishut ha-da'at, not chalishut ha-lev. Chalishut ha-lev is where you haven't eaten. So avikolish libayu, and tonelur rebchia barav midifte, what in the world do you think you're doing? What you think that you're patterning yourself on the behavior of Moshe Rabbeinu, where it says over there that vayamod ha'am ha-moshe min ha-boker ad ha-erev? You think that's what it means, literally? I mean, that actually Moshe stood there, min ha-boker ad ha-erev, v'chitale al datchashi Moshe yershev edan kaliyom kul. You know that that's impossible, because Moshe had so many other things that we know that he had to do and that he did do, in terms of learning Torah mipiv shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then giving it over in the Seder HaMishnah to Aaron, and to the Shivim Zakenim, and to Kol Yisrael. I mean, this takes a heck of a lot of time. So how can you think that every single day, that's all he did all day long, min ha-boker ad ha-erev? It makes no sense at all. Ela lomar lecha, why does it say min ha-boker ad ha-erev? What it means is to teach me that it is similar to boker ad ha-erev, which means vayi erev vayi boker, ma'aser bereishis, that kol dayan shadan dine mit la'amito, afilu sha'achat, ma'ala lava katuv gilu nasa shutav la'kadosh baruch hu b'ma'aser bereishit. It's the fact that you provide for the entire structure of a world that is sustainable and functional by providing real din, even if it's just for a moment. That is the asik in boker ad ha-erev. And a din that is done din emet la'amito means you don't go through the motions. You get to the bottom of it. And if there's any din merum and you detect anything that is something that is fishy, you get to the bottom of what's fishy. K'tivacha v'yamod ha'mamoshe min ha'boker ha'erev, u'k'tivatam in ma'aser bereishis v'yera v'yivoker. That is the Yom Echad. How long then would you actually stay in that din? Ad matay yoshvim b'din, omer rav sheshes, ad zman se'uda, until it's time to eat. Once it's time for your main meal, so then we're going to see that that is for Tamid HaChachomi. That's the beginning of the sixth hour of the day, not of the day, but from the time you wake up is how we paskin. So then that is a posik. What is the posik? By Kradichtiv Eloch Eret Shemalkech Nar V'sarayach Baboker Yochelo. Woe to a land whose king is still an adolescent fool, and who all of the sarim in his government, they sit there eating in the morning. Ashreich eret shemalkech ben chorim, v'sarayach ba'et yochelu, b'gvura, v'lo bashti. But whoa, wonderful. Lucky is a land whose king is a free man, not given into his needs. And where the sarim, they eat at a proper time, and they do this in the kayach of Terah, b'gvura shel Terah, not in shtia shel yayin. Tana Rabbanan, the way in which meals are eaten are an indication of what kind of people you're talking about. If you're a cannibal, well, if you're a cannibal, you'd probably want to eat early in the day. So you must be pretty hungry if you're ready to be a cannibal. So Shari Shona, that's the Machal Ludim. You know, we still speak about the Ludites. Well, those Ludites, they eat first thing in the morning, you know. And Shnia Machal Listim. These Listim, they've been up all night and they're stealing. That's the main time they do their burglary. They took a little nap. Now it's time to eat. Shlishit machal yorshim. People have nothing to do with their lives. You know, they got all the money in the world because their daddy left it to them. So they don't have to worry about anything. So then, they eat early in the day in the third hour. In the fourth hour, people who are working, they take a break to eat. The fifth hour is when normal people eat. Wait. That's not true. Papa said that the fourth hour is dafka, the normal people. Sorry. It should say, Revius is the ma'achal kol adam. The fifth hour is the time when people that are doing hard work, they are allowed to break and to take a coffee break. And actually, it's not coffee break. This is the real su'uda. Shishit, and the sixth hour is the time when Tamid HaChomim should eat. And mikan ve'elach kizorek evan lechemet. If you eat from that point on, it may look like you're putting something into your stomach, you know, and it looks that way if you take a big leather flask full of air and not wine, and you take a big stone and you throw it into it. Yeah, it looks like you got a lot of nice wine in there. You ain't got nothing nourishing in there. Now, the same thing is true. You throw that food into your stomach after that point, you're not doing anything for yourself. It's all lost. Rashi says, some say, it's also damaging. I don't see that it means damaging. It just means it doesn't really give you the nourishment you need. But that's only if you didn't have something to eat in the morning. If you had something small to eat in the morning for breakfast, then you can eat a later lunch and let lunch by. All of this, remember, is talking about the main meal. And I mentioned that the poskim bring la halacha, including the Mishnah Berurah, that this is measured from when the person gets up. It doesn't mean what normally means the fourth hour of the day, fifth hour of the day. If somebody gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning, so then the sixth hour would be the sixth hour from when he wakes up. So that means that at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock is when he would eat. Okay. You can go into a bathhouse and you can go and daven there. What? Doesn't it say on Nichnas b'Beit HaMerchatz? In those days, they had three separate sections to the Beit HaMerchatz. There was the inner room, and then there was an outer room, and each, and then they had a room outside where you could rest, you could sit down, where you were very tired, you know, they had little couches there, and so on and so forth. So it depends what room you're in. If you're in the place in the outside where Adam Omdim Levush, everybody there is completely dressed, so there's no problem. You could say Shema there, Mikra Skriya Shema, Tvila. And obviously, you could say Shalom Aleichem using the same Shalom which we used for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're even allowed to put on tefillin, and obviously you don't have to take off your tefillin if you're already wearing them. But in the middle room, where people come out, and they're outside of where they're actually with Tovel in, where some people are naked, but they're basically getting dressed right away. So, I mean, there might be a few people that haven't managed to get dressed yet, but you have Bnei Adam Omdim Arumim Levushim, you're allowed to say Shalom over there, and you do not say Kriyat Shema, you do not daven there. But if you're wearing your tefillin already, you don't have to take off your tefillin, but you do not put on your tefillin lechatchila. As far as the inner room is concerned, where you have actually the bath itself, so over there everybody is naked basically, you're not even allowed to say Shalom, as we'll see, and certainly not Kriyat Shema, not Tefillah, and you have to take off your tefillin, even if you're wearing them from before, and obviously you don't put them on. But in any event, how in the world could Rav Ada Bar Ava say that you can daven inside of a Beit HaMerchatz? I mean, you can't say he was referring specifically to the place that we were matir outside where they have the couches, in other words. I mean, if he, then he would have said so, that you're even allowed to daven outside. But he just said, stam in a Beit HaMerchatz. No, he was talking about nobody's there. If nobody's there, so then there's nobody naked. So, didn't Rav Yossi Bar Chanina say that when you say a merchatz, you're not allowed to daven in that merchatz, it has nothing to do whether it is currently occupied. It becomes a mokum that is inappropriate. And when we talk about a bathroom, we're not talking about a bathroom that may have some excrement in it. It's even if it's cleaned out. Now here we're getting into another wonderful issue of hachona, hikon, and that hikon has to do with the place where you stand, and that is called hazmana, which is one of the issues of hachona. Hazmana means if you set aside in your mind a particular area for a particular purpose. So let's say you had set aside a building as a bath or a building as a bathroom, would it get the din of a bathroom or bath simply because this is the way that it has been assigned in your mind, which is a remarkable extension of the idea of Ikonikras Elokecha in terms of your placement. And that's what he was talking about. He was saying if it had never, ever been used and this was made as a bath, you'd be allowed to daven there. Is that true? But wasn't that a question that Ravina raised? How about if you set aside, his mino beta kis, he set aside a room as a bathroom, what would be the din? Yezimun o ein zimun, and nobody actually answered and paskened definitively what the halacha is legabe hazmana. So how can you say that it's a proper hachana? And I don't get it. Lo yivshitele. I mean, I'm assuming it would be the same for a bathhouse, right? No, maybe not. It could be he was only talking about a bathroom, meaning a lavatory. We use the word bathroom based on this Gemara, which is very fascinating. Why would we call a toilet room a bathroom? Somebody is not, I think Bobby, you know who it is, but somebody has definitely got their mic open. It's Naftali. Now, those kids are very sweet, Naftali, but the end has come. Okay, so the reason we call a bathroom instead of a toilet room is exactly what the Gemara says over here. You don't want to call a toilet room because toilets are disgusting, even calling it that. The mamela, we change it to a bathroom, but that shows that a bathroom is not disgusting. Ha-ha. In which case, hazmana would be a din of what is the shame of that place, and the shame, therefore, defines its suitability and appropriateness. And therefore, its very shame, as Rashi says, is disgusting. So, shani beit hakiseh demois, which explains why we have bathrooms. Okay, we said before, in shem she'ilat shalom, you're not allowed to say shalom to a friend, which proves what Rav Abnuna always said in the name of Ula, namely, you're not allowed to say the word shalom. Of course, you could say the word shalom if you're talking about shalom akshav or something like that. But you can't use shalom as a greeting in a bathhouse. Because Bishum Shenemar, it says over there by Gidon, Vayikra lo Hashem shalom. So if he calls HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem shalom, then that's the shame, one of the shame is Hashem. Ah, come on. And so then you shouldn't be able to say Hemnuta. You know, Hemnuta is what they used to say, you know, by my beliefs. Hemnuta nami asur l'meim repepet ha-kiseh, because doesn't it say Ha'el ha-ne'eman? And that's in the Torah. So Ha'el ha-ne'eman means God, and we call God Mr. Ne'eman. No, we don't call God Mr. Ne'eman. Over there, all that it's saying is, by the way, I mean, if you'll say that, maybe now, maybe you're not allowed to say Ne'eman. You are allowed to say Hemnuta in a Beit HaKiseh, answers the Gemara over there. When you talk about Hemnuta, the name of Hashem was not called Ne'eman. Take a look at the Targum. The Targum is Elohim Hemna, the God who is faithful. So it's a description, it's not a name. Masha Enkein, where it says Vayikra Lo, so Gideon calls him Hashem Shalom, that's giving an actual shame of Shalom. Another very important thing that has to do with the nature of the appropriateness of the context, which is Hachana, is if you're about to give a gift to someone, you need to tell him. Or if you gave the gift and he doesn't know who gave it, then tell him afterwards. But you should tell him in advance. Shenemar ladat ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. Like we just had in this past week's parsha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, I want you to tell Klal Yisrael that I have a wonderful gift for them. And they need to be prepared for this gift. Can you imagine? You need to know about Shabbos and its value before you even get the mitzvah of Shabbos, because that's the first achonah for Shabbos. And that is Tadinami Yachi Ladat Kaniya Hashem Kadishchem, is what HaKadosh Baruch was telling to Moshe. And he says to Moshe, you, Moshe, ata tedaber. Matanatova Yeshli Bebet Kinaz, I have this amazing gift, and I keep it in my personal treasure house. Its name is Shabbat. And I want to give it as a gift for Yisrael. But you have to tell them. Leich Vahodiyim, tell them, Kaniya Hashem Kadishchem. Mikan Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Hanotein Pat Latinok. Let's say you gave a sandwich to a kid. You need to tell his mother that you gave her kid a sandwich, and that needs to create all of the potential relationships that being kind create. So what should you do? Omar Rabbi could put a little bit of oil between his eyes, or you could put a little kuchla of eyeshadow around his eyes. Then his mother will say, where'd you get that from? And the kid will say, so-and-so did it, and he gave me a sandwich. And at that point, of course, she'll call the police, have the guy arrested and thrown into jail for the rest of his life. In those days, they didn't think about that, but they thought about, of course, burning witches at the stake. So it's the same kind of idea. And in those days, they were worried about kishuf. Nowadays, where the latest liberal concern is sorcery. So you can't do that because they'll arrest you and burn you at the stake. So what do? You give him a little bit of pizza. So if you gave him a piece of pizza, then you put the pizza around his mouth so that the mother will say, where'd you get pizza from? Is that true, though? Amar of Kama Brachanina, I can prove that Hanotein Matana L'Chaveiro Ein Tzarich L'Hodio. Sheneamar U'Moshe Lo Yada Kikaran Or Panav B'Dabro, which is remarkable because of this, of course, is in the same story as the story of the Shabbos, right? He said one is prior to the Ma'aseh Egel, one is after the Ma'aseh Egel. So Moshe did not know. If Moshe did not know, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never told him, hey, Moshe, I'm going to be giving you this amazing gift. How come he didn't have to tell him? No, that's not a problem. Lo Kasha Menuta Davida Lagluya, but Menuta Delo Avida Lagluya. Shabbos is I need to tell you because you're not going to know about it if I don't tell you. Whereas Moshe's gift, he's going to know about because everybody's going to be afraid to go near him. And he's going to, what's going on, people? What's going on? Hey, you're on fire, man. So because of that, there is no need to tell him in advance. I don't understand. What do you mean nobody's going to know about Shabbos? I mean, after you give the mitzvah of Shabbos, everybody's going to know about Shabbos, won't they? Yeah, but they won't know what an amazing gift it is. That's the problem. They'll think it's about cholent and herring. But do they know about Shabbos and how it's part of Olam Haba and it's the most incredible experience imaginable, Echos B'Shishim of Olam Haba and so on? Matan Schora Lo Avid L'Gluyeh. So he has to tell them so that they should know what they're involved in. Rav Chisda once was holding in his hands Matanais from for the Kohuna, you know, Matanta the Torah, Zro L'Chayayim V'Keva. Yeah, he was a Kohen. And they gave him, we saw that he was a Kohen, by the way, before, by the story of the two brothers that were married to the two sisters that were Kohanot and so on, right? That was Rav Chisda's daughters. So anyway, so he was holding two of these Matanot. This is very valuable to Zro L'Chayayim V'Kevas, which as Barnea can tell us, you know, this could keep a guy going for quite a while. And he said, okay, since I have a right to give these to whoever I want, because there's no din of Kedusha on the Matanais, so he said, anybody that tells me something from Rav that I never heard before, I will give them these matanas, because I love to hear chiddushim from Rav. So Rav Bar Mechasi went over to Rav Chisda, he said, I'll tell you this, maybe you don't know it. Hoki Omer Rav, if you're going to give a gift, you have to let him know, which you just did. Shenemar L'dat ki ani Hashem Mekadishchem. Yeah, Rav Chisda said, wow, that's amazing. So he gives him these two matanas. So now Rav Bar Mechasi is all loaded down with this heavy shtei matanas, and he says, woo, chaviven alecha shmaitet adorav kulei, you really love what Rav says so much? He says, absolutely. So Rav Bar Mechasi says to Rav Chisda, Rav always used to say it, that when somebody is wearing a beautiful coat that is made out of really high quality wool, the guy who wears it gets really very attached to it, and he's the one to whom it is most choshev. That's you and Rav. Rav Chisda said, what? Rav said that? Wow, I like that shot better than the first shot. Darn, I wish I had another one of these things, and I would give it to you. So everybody asks, why is that more choshev? The Ladaske Ani Hashem Mekadishchem is basically a pasuk, and this is just like a saying, right? So Rav said, Milson of Ishaya, give us like one of these nice vertlach of Bar Kapora, you know, 25 cents when he used to give out his Divrei Chochma, the doctor is in and all that. So I'll tell you what I think the pshat is, that if he had known that, then he would have had a deeper appreciation of the first word. Because once you understand what something means to you, because it's something that is appropriate for you and it's something that you're used to wearing, so then that becomes the equivalent of hikon. And therefore he's saying, that was more chashuv to me even than the first one, which might have been more chashuv. I heard the second one first, but now, whew, this is amazing. Anyway, Omer Rav Bar Mechasi, Omer Rav Chama Bar Guria, Omer Rav. Another thing is, Le'olam Ayishane Adam Beno Bein Abanim. Never treat one child differently than another. Shebishvil Mishkal Shnei Sloim Milat, because of two little tiny bits of extra wool, look what he caused. And because of that, he ended up bringing everybody down to Mitzrayim. Now, all of the Mefarshim ask, what is the meaning of this? I mean, after all, it was a gezerah from the time of Avraham Avinu, it was supposed to be Yard Mitzrayim, and there's all kinds of pshatim, maybe they would have gone somewhere else, maybe they would have gone in a better matzev, maybe, whatever. I must say, my own opinion is, the question is a zero question. The only point that the Gemara is making is that the way things happen is just as important as what happens. And if this is the way that it was ended up, that it was nitgalgel, that's the point. It was nitgalgel hadavar, is what it's saying. That is what caused the Gilgal of this thing to take place. Otherwise, what do you need to say Nitgalgel Adavar? So the Nitgalgel, things ended up working out that this was the way that we ended up going to Mitzrayim, and that itself is a lesson. V'omrav, again, this is Nogeah, as you could obviously see, the concept of Hakona. V'omrav Amar Mechasi, Omrav Chama Bar Guria, Omrav. make sure that the place where you live is also appropriate, because that's one of the dinim, where you daven, what state your begodim are in davening, what state your mind is in davening, and the place where you daven extends to the overall place where you live. If you're going to go settle somewhere, settle in a city that is as new as possible. You know, this is why they made new skver, right, Rebbe? So new skver, I know we didn't want to mention skver, but new skver is a better place to live than old skver, because after all, it is newer. Why is it so important to be new? Shemitoch shishivata krova avonoteha muatin. If it has had less time to be, then it hasn't filled up yet with all of the filthy things that cities fill up with. So it still has room till it fills up. Shenemar, and we see that Lot, when he was looking to escape from Sodom, and they told him, they got to go up there to Avram Avinu, he said, I can't live like that. So he said, please save this city, which is called Soar. And Ayirazot Krovalanu Shama V'Yimitzar. See that town? It's very close. Let's run there. It's a little town. Now, what do you mean it was very close? I mean, that it was very close, that it was like close to him in terms of distance? And by saying it's small, it means it was small. I mean, he has to tell them that. He's talking to Malachim, and he's pointing to the city. He says, what about there? Let's go there. I mean, it's obviously, it's close and small. What Lot was saying is, this is a new city, and therefore, it's not as bad as the rest of this area that you need to destroy. It still has time to be destroyed. Omer Avavin, where do we see that? Because when Lot said, Imalta na shama, please let me escape to there. And na, the gematria of na is 51, which means that Soar was 51 years old at the time that Lot escaped there. Masha'enke and the other cities that were built with Sodom were 52 years old. And therefore, Lot said, I should be able to survive in Soar. And all of this time, out of the 52 years that Sodom existed, the period that the Torah describes as the, wow, this incredible place of Sfeat Lechem and is filled with the most unbelievable thing, all of that description, which is the Shalva, was a total of only 26 years out of those 52 years. Why? Because it says, Shtemes Reshana Avduet Kedar LaOmer, U'Bishaloshes Reshana Marad, U'Barbas Reshana, then they had the Milchama, right? So then that means, first there were 12 years where they were all in service and giving tribute to Kedar LaOmer. That is not a time in which the Pasuk would have referred to Sodom as, oh, this incredible place where they have everything you possibly dream of. It's a place that is basically being held hostage by Kedar LaOmer. So 13 years after that, there was a rebellion against Kedar LaOmer. Well, in the middle of a rebellion that takes 13 years, believe me, you're not very much at peace. It means there's constant skirmishes and you're trying to maintain yourself. And then in the 14th year, they made this whole war. Kedar LaOmer came with the Malachim, and they ended up with Avram Avinu coming out and saving Sodom and so on. But that means that it was basically only 26 years left to the end of the 52 years. And therefore, there's no possible, what are you going to be talking about? The greatness of Sodom. Okay, so this is fine. This is a total of 26 years. But, you know, the year by Mitzar, we didn't have that entire period. And so because of that, it would be, by the way to work this out is as Rashi points in the Chumash, it goes according to Peleg, because Peleg was named for the Hafloga, and he was named for the Hafloga because, as Rashi points out over there from the Medrash, that Aver was a Navi Gadol, and it must be, can't mean, and sometime during the life of Peleg, because then it wouldn't be giving us any information. It can't be talking about upon the birth of Peleg, because we know that Yoktan, who was much younger than Peleg, had a whole big family at the time of the Hapalaga. So it must be that when Peleg died, that was the time in which they moved out of Shinar and built cities all over the place, which is the Palaga. And that, if you add that up, that was in the 48th year of Avram Avinu. And then if you work out the years, this is now exactly 52 years later, because remember, that's the year 2000, Avram Avinu having been born in 1948. And this takes us now to the beginning of the of the Alpayim, the end of the Alpayim of Tohu, and the beginning of the Alpayim Terah, which is Avraham Avinu.